You're tuned into Arizona's number one home improvement resource. It's the Rosie on the House Show.
Yes, it is. Thank you for tuning in. Where it's our goal to be every Arizona homeowner's best friend, and we do that by covering topics that are pertinent to housing industry right here in the great state of Arizona, and by taking your calls. Let's see if we can get Bart calling from Prescott Valley. Good morning, Bart.
Good morning.
Hey, man. What kind of project are you trying to tackle up in beautiful Prescott Valley this morning?
I want to build a dirt-floored, simple, basic shed, 12 feet deep, 25 feet long, and I'm planning on using redwood 4x4s. I wonder if you could advise me, can I just stick them in the ground? I read all different kinds of things. I got to put concrete around them. I can put soil cement around them. I can get those metal attachments and pour cement in sonotubes and, attach the poles at ground level or above the ground level a little bit.
Okay.
But I want to keep it simple, so I'm leaning toward just putting the poles in the ground.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, the first thing you're going to want to do is are you in Prescott Valley proper, or are you out in Yavapai County?
I'm in Dewey Humboldt.
Okay. And I believe Dewey Humboldt has its own building department. So you're going to want to check
it
with
it. But we're allowed to build the 400-square-foot.
Okay. That's what I was going to. Every building municipality has a different size. Like here in Maricopa County, anything over 250 square feet requires a permit. You can go up to 400. What I would do, Bart, in the concept of keeping it simple, but I'm a big believer in let's build it once and not have to come back and replace it. Even redwood posts buried in the ground are going to have a limited lifetime. You will be infinitely better off going ahead and pouring a little sonotube foundation, just 18, 24 inches deep, and put a post base metal strap in that. Keep the redwood off the top of the sonotube concrete pouring, and I promise you, with a little bit of occasional snow load that you get, a little bit of moisture that you get, those redwood posts are going to last three times longer not being directly buried into the ground. So take the extra time and put those foundations in place, and then put the post base on top of that. And go from there.
And it'll be a lot more structurally sound as opposed to just lasting longer, too.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, you bury a 4x4 redwood post 3 feet deep. I mean, that thing's pretty stout. There's some and the one thing about that, it can be easier to frame for someone that's a little less experienced, because you get the one buried in the ground, and you can get it perfectly leveled up by tamping here and tamping there, you know what I'm saying, and backfilling the hole and tamping, when you're done backfilling, that post can be perfectly level. Some novice carpenters have a hard time putting that 4x4 on top of that metal base and getting it as level and plumb. But it's doable. You stand the wall, you plumb one wall at a time, and you'll be in good shape. But I would definitely recommend getting the bottom of that 4x4 post up off the ground by 4 to 6 inches. You'll be infinitely happier in the long term. All right, from Prescott Valley, let's come on down to Scottsdale and bring Greg into the conversation. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Ramirez. Appreciate you taking my call.
You betcha.
Rosie, what I've got is an 80s era house, and it's got a very dated fireplace. You've seen thousands and thousands of them, I know, red brick.
Yeah.
So we're trying to update the look of that family room. And what I'm currently contemplating, and I guess I'm looking for your take on it, whether it's advisable or and if it's a do-it-yourself kind of thing, is covering it over the vertical surfaces with rock veneer kind of thing, and then the horizontal surfaces and the the ones that cut into the firebox itself will be something like cut tile. So I'm wondering, can we do that surface right over the top of the brick, And there is a mantle that sticks out directly horizontal that I'm probably planning on taking off and replace with something else.
Okay.
But the other place I'm worried about is when you, you know, if you were to sit on the hearth that is sitting up, you know, I don't know, 10 or 12 inches or so, it rises up off the floor a couple of courses.
Yes.
And that course that your behind would be sitting on juts out about, I don't know, 3/8 of an inch, maybe half an inch further than the two courses below it. So if you were, you know, putting the same level face, rock face on there, you'd have backfill of, you know, that half inch, okay, 3/8 inch gap, that kind of thing. So, and then finally in this project, we're having some discussion in our house about where to put our television, our big screen TV. And
where does she want it?
That's where you should put it, Greg.
Listen, take it from the voice of experience, okay? So we saw solved that question already. What's your next question?
Well, let's say she wants it above the fireplace.
Okay.
Then can we hide the wires in this project? Can we kill two birds with one stone if the location is above the fireplace?
That's a good question. Now, it's a brick fireplace, so I'm assuming it's an all masonry fireplace, original 80s vintage wood burning, authentic masonry fireplace. It's not a zero clearance metal box.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I would think you'd be able to get a junction box in there, electrical mounted. Depending on what we end up covering it with, it might mean that you're going to have to do some little furring strips on top of that brick veneer. But certainly if you put furring strips on there, you could certainly run any wiring you need in there. Might need a small, what City of Scottsdale calls a minimum electrical permit to relocate outlet, but you'd certainly want to do that and bring your cable into that same area so it can all be mounted behind the television. Do you think you're going to go through the trouble of converting this to a gas log-burning fireplace, or are you going to keep it natural wood-burning?
Yeah, our neighborhood is all electric, and, you know, I know there's that. I would love to have gas because I like to cook, and I love to cook on gas.
Yeah.
But we're not that far away from being empty nesters in this house, so I don't know that I'd do that.
Okay, got it. All right. Well, you can certainly do the horizontal stack stone right on top of the brick. It may limit how you're going. It's going to be harder to stay in code with a direct burial electrical wire. It's going to be easier if you'll put like some hat channel on that wall, move the Romex in back behind that, mount the receptacles to that, and then either lath it or put some Hardy Backer board on there and then apply the stack veneer to that. That'd be pretty easy. Now, as far as that, what you're going to rest your fanny on in that hearth that sticks out another 3/8 to half an inch, is that that's a masonry lip that's sticking out that far?
Yeah, the red brick, right.
Okay. I guess given it's only 10 to 12 inches high, then you're probably going to be better off just floating out everything underneath that extra 3/8 to half inch. That'll probably take a minimum of two coats of mortar. Don't try and do that all in one coat. Build it up in two coats. Then you're up flush with everything, and then you can apply anything you want to the surface of that. I was thinking it might be better off if it was just a OG, you know, precast stone edge. I would take a 4-inch grinder, chalk a line, and just cut it off. But if it's a full, you know, 4-inch thick brick, then I would just mastic.
Build up.
I would build up the bottom layers, bottom courses.
Beautiful.
Okay, man.
Invaluable advice. I appreciate listening to you guys every week. Keep up the good work.
All right, Greg. And I'll tell you what, empty nesting ain't all it's cracked up to be. That's from a father of 6, a grandfather of 13. I take pictures every Sunday after church. I go home crying because it used to be that everybody came to my house for Sunday barbecues, and there would be little munchkins jumping on the trampoline and little munchkins playing cornhole over here and little munchkins playing bocce ball over there and little munchkins swimming in the pool and a couple little munchkins playing volleyball and a couple munchkins over there in the archery range playing archery. Now there's nobody.
You got me, babe.
There's nobody.
I'm nobody.
It's the loneliest backyard.
Ha ha ha.
If you subscribe to our weekly newsletter, you may have already read our article about home automation, which is our topic for today. We list a bunch of smart home devices. Did you have a favorite on there?
What my kids gave me for Christmas, as a matter of fact, was the best smart home appliance I've ever gotten. Don't you think so, Jennifer?
Mm, the Apple TV?
Yeah.
That's funny, really nice.
Which isn't in our article, but I guess we were listing things there we haven't talked about yet. What do you like about it?
That Jennifer knows how to work. We said, I've given up the remote control. She has perfect control. She just says, what do you want to watch? And I say, blah, blah, blah. Then she just tells this little black remote control what we want to watch. The whole thing comes on. The show starts. And bada bing, bada boom. She tried to teach me how to use it the other night. And I said, no, you're doing fine.
What do you use through Apple TV for accessing whatever? Are you searching Netflix? Are you searching
Heartland?
Yeah, you know,
Heartland,
that's
baby.
All off of Netflix. I have not spent a lot of time researching it all, but we've taken the time to learn Netflix, and so it's just really nice. You can just go on and find everything that
Netflix
they offer.
Netflix.
Yeah, that's about it so far.
But
there's a lot of choices. I know that you could do. Well, we've used Pandora on there. You can
do
all your Apple stuff.
That's so nice.
I like that.
Connected to the back patio stereo speakers, mm-hmm. Pandora on that. That's nice.
But that being said, I think the biggest issue about the smart home is the learning curve. You know, everything is a learning curve. And so I think that's the hardest thing, is just trying to figure out. And then also you're on the cutting edge of things, so you're part of a grand experiment. Does this thing really work? We had Jen Gura at the office try out one of these security systems that goes with your app on your phone, and it's a big deal to try to figure it out. And she's techie, so she didn't mind it. But me, I would just go, this doesn't work, and I'd get frustrated.
What's your favorite thing you have at your home, Romy?
Well, favorite thing at my home wasn't the favorite on this list. Mine is, we've had Apple TV for a while, so I don't know if we took that away, if I'd really miss it, because we really don't hardly use it at all once we got our Sonos, because we don't have a lot of TV. We listen to a lot of audio, though.
Yeah.
And through our Sonos player, we've got one plugged into the kitchen. We've got one plugged into the master bedroom. You can play them together. You can play them independently. You can play one or the other. And, I mean, that's how we listen to KTAR. That's how we listen to our music.
Well, your family would like Heartland.
That's what is that?
It's a ranch family in Canada. On Netflix.
Not one bad word or scene in the whole thing. We've watched like a whole season.
Yeah, it's really an enjoyable show. Yeah, I think it's Heartland and Blue Bloods, and then your baby sister got me hooked on Blacklist.
Which I don't like.
Which I'm not as big a fan of it as I was like the first three or four, but every once in a while when I want to watch something kind of off color, I watch Blacklist.
My favorite from the list that was in our article today was the Kohler motionless kitchen faucet. You know, there's been motionless faucets in bathrooms for a long time. But I've always, especially when I'm doing a beer butt chicken and I'm messing with poultry and I've got the Tony seasoning coated all over the chicken and you want to wash your hands and you got to use your elbow to pry it up because you don't want that salmonella on your faucet.
Ha!